serving up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home. Tell me where you've been.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily after a magnificent weekend here in Cleveland.
Got a lot accomplished, I'll tell you that.
Oh, so did I in terms of playing golf. Accomplished a great many things. It was fantastic. But what we really want to hear about, is what happened.
That'll have to wait.
It's going to have to wait.
Isn't it? Aren't we doing that at 2:30, Gibbs?
Oh, teaser. Giants-Panthers results, comments, and official statement from defensive coordinator of the Giants, Dr. Kurt, all coming up at 2:30. There's a statement.
That is a strong, that's an hour and 29-minute teaser.
People are going to, bated breath, they're going to be waiting. We got Dane Brugler right out of the gate, 105. We've got Tony Franklin, who is Jared Goff's offensive coordinator, his 3 years at Cal at 2 o'clock to talk about the young quarterback. Gibbs, how was your weekend, my friend?
Came within about 3 feet of a hole-in-one on Saturday.
Ooh. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Where?
Emerald Woods.
Where's that?
Out in Lorain County.
Emerald Woods.
Yeah, off of Columbia and Snell Roads.
Columbia and Snell. What city?
Columbia Station.
Okay.
Yeah, trust me, not a, you know, if you're going to get back into it for the first time in the year, you don't necessarily want to go big right away.
No, what was the distance?
It's about 166, par 3.
Nice.
Yeah, struck it well. I hit the par 3 as well. Hit par 4s.
What, 7 iron?
Pretty well. I actually went a little 6 because there was a little wind, into the wind.
When it's breezy, swing easy, Mr. Wheezy.
Yeah.
Is that the kid?
That is the kid. We'll get the kid's take on the state of his golf game after practicing every day this offseason.
Like, all these courses had like great deals out in Lorain County. Like they scrapped, Emerald Woods scrapped all their tee times, and it was first come, first serve, $20 for 18 in a cart.
I'm waiting for the Valley of the Eagles,
bad,
bro.
Hearing that it might not open until late fall.
Yeah. I figured. When I drove through, I could tell it was a little further away than people think.
That's a great time for a golf course to open in Cleveland, late fall.
Well, it depends. They're waiting to it's all waiting on the grass to come up now.
Yeah.
That's what they're waiting on.
Yes, indeed they are. Well, obviously over the weekend, you know, a lot more speculation. It seems like if you're monitoring the winds with a flag, the flag seems to be pointing at Jared Goff for the Rams. I'm not going to buy into it. I'm going to keep my dreams alive. I'm saying Jeff Fisher wants a big, physical quarterback in the mold of Cam Newton. This guy could be Andrew Luck, folks. Come on.
That's not McShay.
Mayock.
Mayock, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cam Newton, Andrew Luck type of athlete.
Yeah. He also said that Johnny Manziel was Steve Young, so...
Who knows? Listen to him this time.
Yes, listen. Listen, Reams, listen. All right, so we've got that. Now we're going to get into our draft coverage here. We are just now basically, what, 10 days away?
10 days.
10 days away from the 2016 NFL draft. The speculation will finally be over. We'll be able to focus on what truly is for the Cleveland Football Browns, and that is a week from Thursday. So to get into it, get the latest on some of these prospects, some interesting medical information coming out about Miles Jack that doesn't sound good for him. The teams think his knee might be a ticking time bomb. Jalen Smith in the recheck still has drop foot. So our guy, Dane Brugler, who I'm holding right here next to me, literally 196 pages of draft goodness courtesy of Dane Brugler. The
and,
love,
and OBM.
The sweat. The tears and the Ohio
and
Business
to OBM.
Machine. Yes, our
Ohio
sponsor.
Business Machines printed those things out perfectly.
They did, and they did it with just at record time. It was absolutely amazing. So I will say that this guide, I think it's like basically $6. If you're interested in the draft, you want to know what's going on. You want to see who everybody's picking and get a real good scouting look at them. Pick up Dane Brugler's guide. He's going to be with us any second now. Gibbs will let us know when we've got him, but. He's ready. Let's just bring him in right now. The great Dane Brugler joining us on the hotline. What's up, Dane?
Hey, I appreciate that that intro there. This is a fun time of year. We're under 2 weeks now, so the rumors are flying, and there's we gotta make through all the gossip and figure out what's true, what's not. So it's gonna be a fun last 2 weeks.
It certainly is. All right, trade happens last week. It sends me into a tizzy. I just want nobody to trade with the Titans, so they take Tunsil and the Browns get their pick of the quarterbacks. This trade happens. Reiterate for everybody who may not know and or hasn't seen, what are your quarterback rankings? How close is it to you?
Well, to me, Jared Goff is the best quarterback in this draft, in my opinion. What he does, just from a mental standpoint, the way he can throw receivers open, that passing anticipation, not what you see very often from a college quarterback. So I do give Jared Goff the edge as the top quarterback this year, but there's a lot to like about Carson Wentz as well. He has all the tools, physically, mentally. He's a great person off the field in terms of character and intangibles. But obviously making that FCS jump, the speed, the uptick in competition, it's something that I don't care how much of a quarterback expert you are, it's just hard to account for that jump from the FCS level to the NFL level. And so, I give Goff the clear edge this year, but I do think we're going to see quarterbacks go 1-2 in the draft. The bigger question is which quarterback, what order, Goff or Wentz, number one, and then at number two, do the Browns love one of those quarterbacks enough, or are they looking to maybe get out of that pick? And I think they're going to have a lot of interest. If they don't love the other quarterback that's available for them at two, I think the interest will be very high, a good chance they could trade out of that spot.
Dane, the interesting conversation to me is, as the reports came out initially after the trade about, Jeff Fisher likes this guy and, the general manager likes this guy, I think the interesting question is, are they committed to Jeff Fisher enough to listen to his input for the quarterback that they take that would likely be their quarterback for the next 3 to 5 years? Because he has never really produced, other than a few years in Tennessee, he's that middle-of-the-road 7-9, 9-7 football coach.
Yeah, I mean, the popular joke is, you could – just it doesn't matter what the Rams do at quarterback, just they're going to go 8-8 this year.
That's right.
As long as Jeff Fisher is the head coach. But I mean, that's kind of the joke around the league, but it will be interesting how this plays out. If you didn't like Jeff Fisher enough to make this pick, then you needed to have fired him after the last season. So, you have to trust not only Jeff Fisher, but general manager Les Snead. They're going to be the two making the pick here. I believe it's going to be Jared Goff just because he is the best quarterback in this class. I understand the Carson Wentz. Those that like Carson Wentz might prefer Carson Wentz. But to me, I just think Jared Goff's too good to pass up there.
Talking with Dane Brugler at DP Brugler on Twitter. Get his draft guide right now. It is probably the best football value, if not the best value, period, in the country. Dane, where can they get that, or can they just go to your Twitter handle at DP Brugler and get it right there in the profile?
Yeah, it's the best way to get it. Go to my Twitter and I have it pinned at the top, the link. It's only $7. I make sure and keep it affordable for everyone. 450 prospects deep, try to cover all the bases. So, we talk about the first round guys enough, but when, your team drafts a no-name linebacker in the sixth round, that's where my guide, I think, can really flex its muscles and show what it provides. So I appreciate all the feedback and hope everyone can check it out.
All right, Dane, and you could get this in detail in his, as I'm looking at it right now, the quarterbacks here. Do you believe that Carson Wentz, let's go through the scenarios here. We did this on our show, Dog Pound Report, on Sunday. All right, you are Sashi Brown, Paul D. Podesta. You're all of them in one person, Dane. That's how much time. You are four people in one. And the Rams go to the podium. They take Carson Wentz. I know you're taking Jared Goff. So let's flip it around. The Rams go to the podium, and they take Jared Goff. Are you taking Carson Wentz, or are you looking to shop that pick?
Well, I'm shopping the pick regardless, just to see what I could get. Because if I could get a deal like the Titans got for that number one pick, then that's going to be awfully enticing and something you have to pay attention to.
Would you do that if Goff was on the board, or if Goff's on the board, are you taking him, period?
I'm probably taking Goff. I'm taking the quarterback of my future. But with Wentz, you're a little bit more lukewarm because, just that jump from FCS to the NFL level, it's tough to project. And so while I like Carson Wentz, I do think he can start in this league. I like him more as a top 15 type of pick. I just have some questions about taking him that early. If I can get, just look at the Eagles sitting there at number 8. They don't have a second round pick this year, but they do have 2 threes and they do have a first rounder next year. That's going to be awfully enticing because I still feel I can get a good player at number 8. If that's the trade back option, give me those picks. They can come up and take Carson Wentz. They feel that's their quarterback of the future. That's fine. I'll trade back to number 8. I have a number 1 next year and 2 threes to work with on day 2. I like that scenario.
Dane, let's just, for the fact of my question, say we do go quarterback. Say it is, Goff or Wentz to the Cleveland Browns. Quarterbacks go 1-2. I think the interesting pick for the Cleveland Browns then falls to 32, which is essentially a first-round pick but will be the first of the second round. What direction do you see the Cleveland Browns going with that 32nd overall pick?
Well, I don't think it's going to be a position that they predetermine. I think that they're going to have their focus on a few positions, but I think it's more to, you just see who falls to you because we're going to see some surprises in that first round. I think there will be some very good players that fall out of that first round altogether and get kicked to you with the first pick in the second round. I believe this since, week 17 of last season. I don't believe that they're going to make a pick at 32. I think there's going to be enough interest.
Yep.
From other teams that they're going to be able to trade back 10 spots or so and then pick up an extra third round or whatever it is. But say they stick at 32, I think we'll have to see who is left for them on the board. Could a talented wide receiver fall to them? We're probably not going to see a receiver top 20 this year, but between, picks 21 and 31 in that late first round, we could see a few come off the board with Treadwell, Josh Doctson, Corey Coleman, Will Fuller. But if one of those, say Doctson or Treadwell, were to fall to pick 32, that'll be awfully enticing to pass on an offer, stick at 32, and get that that impact receiver that this team sorely needs.
Talking with Dane Brugler, NFL expert, CBS NFL draft expert at CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. Of course, Twitter at DP Brugler. Dane, when you look at this draft, and I've kind of taken the stance that for the Browns, it's quarterback or trade back. If they think they're both franchise quarterbacks, you take whichever one's there. If you don't think one of them is, and that's the one you have the option to pick, you trade back. Because I don't think that there is a defensive player that's a franchise changer in this draft to the point that the Browns would pass on multiple assets to secure that. Do you agree with that statement? And who are the top defensive players in your mind?
Yeah, I would probably agree with you there. There's quite a few defensive players in this draft that I do like. And the one that I probably love the most is Miles Jack, the linebacker from UCLA. But the feedback I'm getting from teams is that they're really worried about that knee.
How far does he fall?
Well, and that's the big wild card because I talked to some teams that are really scared off, and two teams on the top 10 flat told me that he's not on their board. But then I received similar details from both, so that's how I know I don't think it's BS. I think it's a true report. But then I've talked to some other teams who are like, you know what, there are some concerns, but he's too good. We're not going to let him fall past us. So I still think he goes somewhere in the first round, probably the top half of round 1. But it's going to take a team that's willing to take a leap of faith. And I think there's going to be few options. But he's such a good player. Whether you want him to, rush the passer or drop in space, cover the run, he has that range. His fluid hips, his ability to be a nickelback and shut down a slot receiver, we just don't see that from linebackers. And so, to me, Miles Jack, if he has a full, if he's fully healthy, then Miles Jack, to me, would be worth that second pick overall. But with his injury questions, you're looking at Jalen Ramsey, Joey Bosa, DeForest Buckner, and I like all three. I think all three are very good players, but a trade-back offer might be more intriguing to me at that point.
The other interesting player to me personally, simply because he got hurt in the Fiesta Bowl versus the Buckeyes, is the linebacker out of Notre Dame, Jalen Smith.
Right.
Yes. The Browns have experience with Ifo Ekpre Olomu out of Oregon. Obviously, draft him as a flyer in the 7th round. Give him a year off, and they end up releasing him. How far has his stock fallen? And at what point in the draft do you think a team just says, "Hey, if this guy has a 50% chance of getting back to 100% to be the player that he was, what round do you see him fitting in?"
Yeah, Jalen Smith, you hate it for him. He started all 39 games at Notre Dame the past 3 years. Just happened in that final game, he got hurt. And the medical rechecks were last week, and so, you know, we found out more about Miles Jack. And for Jalen Smith, it was more of the same of what we heard at the Combine. You know, not good news. Teams believe he'll have to miss the entire 2016 season. There are some teams that are optimistic that he can return to full health, but it's a guess at this point. It's all guesswork. And so how early can you take a player where you're hoping he can return to close to full health by 2017? I think someone will take a chance on him probably early day three. I think he probably falls out of the top 100, maybe somewhere in that fourth round. A team will take a chance on him. It's such an intriguing situation because he's so talented. Based on talent, a top five player in this draft, but you have to factor in everything. And because of that injury, unfortunately, he's probably going to fall out of the first 2 days.
Talking with Dane Brugler. Dane, Ezekiel Elliott could be 4 to Dallas, 8 to Philly, anywhere in between. What are you hearing on the Ohio State running back?
Well, he's one of the best players in this draft. The Cowboys, all along, we're thinking they're going to take a defensive stud. You know, Bosa, Jalen Ramsey, that's who they're looking at. The coaches are making a push for Ezekiel Elliott because he's a difference maker on offense. He's a guy that you can build your offense around, a true three-down player, what he offers as a blocker and receiver, as well as his ability as a rusher. Just hard to find weaknesses to his game. And he's not as physically gifted as maybe Todd Gurley a year ago, who went top 10.
Yep.
But Elliott just has the total package. He's so well-rounded. His vision, his ability to, you know, match his eyes with his feet, transition his balance and his weight from cut to cut and make guys miss. And he has the finishing speed to be a home run threat as well. So I think Zeke's going – if the Eagles stay at 8, I think that's the most likely landing spot for them. But if the Eagles trade up, then it'll be interesting. We could see maybe another team trading up. You know, Miami needs a running back. And we might see a team that maybe doesn't have that obvious need at running back. But Ezekiel Elliott's just that much of a difference maker. And, you know, I hate using the word safe, but he projects as that kind of, you know, high ceiling, also or high floor, high ceiling type of player that a team that maybe not has immediate need at running back, they still go Ezekiel Elliott because he's too good to pass on.
Dane, last question for me, and it's on two more Buckeyes who kind of have maybe like a 2 to 3 round range, and that's Braxton Miller. How high or low could he possibly go? And then, of course, Cardale Jones, you know, probably in that third tier of quarterbacks. Where do you see him fitting in?
Yeah, and Braxton, he's obviously a projection from, you know, going to the wide receiver position last year. He saw signs of him being able to make that immediate transition. He did a really nice job at the Senior Bowl, but he also showed how raw he is. As a route runner, he has the hands, he has the athleticism, at 6'1.5", 201 pounds. But it's going to be taking a little bit of a projection with him. He's probably going to be more of a gadget player in year one. And then hopefully by year two, he's someone that's fighting for a starting job. So we're going to see Braxton Miller somewhere in that probably second to third round range. And it's going to take a landing spot where they understand, you know, he's not going to be fighting for a starting job from day one. Probably a guy that, you know, hopefully by year two. And then with Cardale Jones, he's a true mystery because I think anywhere between the second and fourth round, he's going to end up a guy that has all the physical traits from the size, arm strength. He has some mobility to him, but mentally, he's just so raw, and there's so much he has to learn from an anticipation standpoint, from the ability to read coverages and really break down what he sees. I think that team that has the ability to sit him on the bench and bring him along at his own pace, maybe a team like the Cardinals, you know, guys who can sit behind Carson Palmer, maybe that is a fit. But I think somewhere between that second and fourth round, we'll see Cardale come off the board.
Dane, when you look at this quarterback class, let's say the Browns don't take a quarterback at 2. Where do they take a quarterback, and who are your favorites in the middle to later rounds?
Yeah, that really will be interesting. If they do trade out of that pick, number 2, obviously they'll be getting some more picks to play with this year. And you know, where are those picks, and how do they attack the quarterback position? Paxton Lynch is a little bit of a wild card in that first round. He could go anywhere between you know, I could see him as going as high as top 10 to a quarterback needy team like the 49ers, or he could slip to the end of round one. Paxton Lynch is really intriguing. You know, if the Browns really wanted to, they could trade up from pick 32 into that late first round and get Lynch, who can, you know, get that fifth-year option in the late first. And then if they don't, then you're looking at guys like Christian Hackenberg and, you know, Dak Prescott. And, you know, I understand some of that, like Connor Cook. I just see a very low ceiling there. I don't see that after you get past the first two guys, and probably even I'll throw Lynch in that mix. Once you get past those top three, I don't see a quarterback with, you know, that you can point to and say, okay, this guy can be a future starter. Some of these guys flash tools, but I see more backups, guys like Kevin Hogan from Stanford, Dak Prescott from Mississippi State, Brandon Allen, Arkansas. These guys are nice players who I think can be backups and give you some spot starts, but I don't see guys that flash the needed trait where you're going to plug them in at starter and think you have your quarterback situation solved.
Dane, gosh, I can't wait to see what happens. We can't wait to get your take on it after the fact as well for the Cleveland Browns. My final question to you will be this. Let's go from rounds 2 to 4. Who would be your top wide receiver targets if you were the general manager of the Cleveland Browns?
Well, you know, I think like I said earlier, you have to see who falls out of that first round. I think there's a good chance one of those good wide receivers could fall to you. But I think there's good value in that in the second, third, fourth round. Day two at the wide receiver position, Sterling Shepard is a favorite of mine from Oklahoma. Not the biggest guy at 5'10", 195 pounds.
I like him too.
His body control, his route running ability, he finds ways to get open. He knows how to manipulate defenses and coverages. I think he could play on the outside. I don't think he's just a slot guy. So Sterling Shepard, to me, one of those guys. I throw Farrell Cooper from South Carolina in that mix, Rashard Higgins from Colorado State. These guys don't jump off the screen in terms of size, speed, but they know how to get uncovered. And once they have the ball in their hands, they can make something happen. So if they don't get a wide receiver early in that first or even second round, I think they will have some options third, fourth round. I wouldn't panic if the Browns don't go receiver first two rounds.
There are some of them out there. I like Shepard. I'm a big Leonte Carew fan as well later on. I think I like his physicality, what he brings. But definitely a lot of options kind of in those middle rounds for the Browns. And I think it's a position we'd all agree, if whoever they want, whether it's RG3 or the number 2 overall pick this draft, they've got to get that quarterback some weapons.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I think Browns fans want a bigger target, but it's all about talent. You got to get that talent on the outside. Whoever's going to be out there at quarterback will need some help. So I agree with you 100%. Top four rounds, they need to go receiver at some point there.
Dane, always a pleasure. And once again, let everybody know where they can get your unbelievable draft guide. It really is the resource. The Browns have 10 picks this year. Most people out there who are into the draft, you're going to know the name of the first pick, second, maybe the third. The seventh, the other seven picks, you need this guide to understand what the Browns are doing, what they're getting, and why. And you can get it for less than $10. That's like a souped-up burrito at Taco Bell. And instead, you can have 200 pages of draft goodness. How many hours did you put into watching tape, writing, editing into this? I mean, this is a labor of love.
Oh, there's no way I could put it into hours. It's what I work on year round. It's something that, you know, countless number of hours spent watching tape and breaking these guys down. And, you know, it's something that, like you said, labor of love. I mean, I pour everything into this guide. And, you know, my rankings, I'm not going to be 100% right on all these guys. That's not how it works. But I think just from a production standpoint, the stats that are in here, you know, date of birth, even a pronunciation guide for players, all the testing numbers, and then obviously my scouting report on each. It's all in there, so it'll have you covered. Just check out my Twitter at VP Brugler, the link's at the top. And so I appreciate all the feedback people are giving me. You know, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know what you think.
Listen, Jared Goff, top quarterback on the board. Enough said, folks. This guy, he'll tell you exactly where everybody should be ranked.
And I'll tell you, we agreed on Teddy a couple years ago, and I think we're on the same page with Goff. So it'll be fascinating to see how it plays out April 28th.
What was your initial reaction when you heard the Rams made the trade?
Well, I did a 7-round mock the night before. So I woke up the next day, and I had all these texts, all these tweets, and missed calls, and I was I thought people were messing with me because I spent all this time. I never did a seven-round mock before, and I put one out, and this trade just blew it up, blew everything up, and had to change everything. So my first, I thought everyone was joking at first, but I for the Rams it makes sense. Obviously, go up, get their quarterback, and to me, you know, it's too early to pick winners and losers of this trade. We'll have to see 3 years from now. You know, we'll see how the trade plays out, but. I can understand it for the Rams, you know, for Jeff Fisher, Les Snead, they just bought themselves some time. Like I said, Jared Goff, to me, the best quarterback in this draft. So he would be my guess to go number one.
You know, it's interesting. I talked to somebody who's connected with the Rams, and this is what they told me, and I don't know if you've heard anything similar and what you make of it, but I was told that Les Snead prefers Wentz and Fisher prefers Goff, and that's why they haven't come out and said who they want and why they continue to, you know, it's out there.
Well, and it's interesting because I would understand that because from the scout's point of view, Wentz has all the tools, and that's what scouts are looking for. They're looking for the traits, where the coaches, you know, they're looking for more of the on-field production and, you know, the guys that might not pass the eye test, but they produce results on the field, and so that might have the coaches leaning towards Goff. So that's interesting. Me personally, I think they know exactly who they're taking. I don't think you trade up or all those picks I gave up. You don't do that unless you know who you're taking. So that's kind of how I feel about it. But they're being coy right now. I mean, they're leaking both names that they like. They're not really revealing much. And so it's interesting how they're playing this. But like I said, I think it'll be Goff. But who knows? We'll have to see. That's what makes the draft the ultimate, you know, reality. TV show, and why it makes it a lot of fun.
Absolutely, certainly does. Dane, always a pleasure. Again, follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler, and that's where you can get his unbelievable 2016 NFL Draft Guide powered by NFLDraftScout.com and the Sports Exchange. Dane, we'll talk again soon. Enjoy the next 10 days before it's all about recapping the 2016 NFL Draft.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
All right. The great Dane Brugler there. Wow. Big start to the show. We're going to take some breaks, catch our breath. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Still to come, Tony Franklin, the offensive coordinator of Jared Goff was at Cal. And we'll have him at 2. We'll find out about the Giants and the Panthers. Who was the winner? Who was the loser? Or were there winners and losers? We'll find out, 2:30 on CBD.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs. Unbelievable, I'll tell you what. Dane Brugler bringing the fire. That was 30 minutes. Felt like two. Time flies when you're having fun, Matt Wilhelm. By the way,
draft talk, man.
Big announcement from the Browns today. They've claimed linebacker Jackson Jeffcoat via waivers from Washington. 6'3", 250 pounds, entering his third NFL season out of Texas. Originally signed by Seattle as an undrafted free agent in 14. 9 career games, 1 start. He's got 7 tackles, 1 sack, 1 interception, and 1 forced fumble. That's 3 pretty impactful plays in 9 games with 1 start. Last season, appeared in 6 games before being placed on the injured reserve. His father is, of course, Jim Jeffcoat of Cowboys fame. So the Browns have the son now of Jim Jeffcoat, the son of Jesse Tuggle.
Great. Awesome. Let's go win some football games.
Let's go win some football games. Let's go back to the phones, 216-578-0850. Frank in Parma. Frank.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. You know, I just heard Brugler on the air, and what I found interesting was how he classified Connor Cook. Because I've seen Connor Cook go in the first round in mock drafts, in the second round. And as far as Dane Brugler is concerned, he's a low-ceiling guy. I think what he is now is what you get. And I compare him to Cardale Jones. There's not a single thing Connor Cook does better than Cardale Jones, except for he played in a pro-style system and he has more experience. He's not bigger. He doesn't have a stronger arm. He hasn't had better results on the field. He's got happy feet when the pocket breaks down. Cardale Jones stands there like a boss. He's not afraid of anything in the pocket. I don't get the Connor Cook love. I don't know where it's coming from. He's probably going to be a Hoyer-type player. I mean, would you take Brian Hoyer in the first round?
I imagine you asked that in jest.
Is Brian Hoyer have a job right now?
No, but I think he's going to get an opportunity to play somewhere.
Maybe what, the New Jets? York?
Jets, maybe. Yeah.
Lock and Fora was talking about that. There's a visit this week planned.
Lock and Fora is – I love him. Lock and Fora is he tries to help Mr. Hoyer out there. I think he's a guy that could end up there. I just don't know how you could go into a playoff game and feel good, like, good about it.
I mean, after his playoff experience.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think, is a better option for them, but I think he's going to be a significantly higher price tag than Brian Hoyer. Jason Lockvoro said Pittsburgh was interested as maybe being the backup to Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay.
So we will see there what ends up happening. Let's go to Phil in Brecksville now. Phil.
Nathan, Matt. Look, the life of a bitter Browns fan, you know, as this draft gets closer and closer every year, I can't believe it affects me like it is. You know, I can't watch the Oakland Raiders because if we would have stayed where we were, we'd have had back in Carr. I can't watch the Falcons because we let a talent like Julio Jones go. You know, I can't watch the Vikings. You know, this is just, you know, it just goes on and on and on. I'm pleading with this front office Harvard people. Take a quarterback. If we don't take a quarterback, we got nothing. We got nothing.
Let me ask you a question. If the front office of the Cleveland Browns, okay, does not believe, let's say Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, let's say whichever one is there too, does not believe that that person is a franchise type quarterback in their evaluations or their analytics, you want them to just force it?
Nathan, let me ask you a question, okay? If we were just went with what, you know, normal people thought about quarterbacks, we would have had a quarterback by now. There's got to be – we've got to take a chance on a quarterback. I want to drink the Kool-Aid with Hugh Jackson. I really do. But if they don't take a quarterback first and we trade down like we've done 100 times for lesser talent, I'm going to be pissed.
That would be – you know what? Then that would be your emotional right. That is one thing we are given the opportunity to control in this world is our own emotions. So – if that's what you want to be, then that's fine. Again, you guys know where I stand on this. If Goff's there and we don't take him, I would be unhappy. I don't see Carson Wentz as that guy. If they do, I'll get on board because I believe in Hugh Jackson's quarterbacks. But that's just not what I see. So what I see in that scenario is an opportunity for a team with a lot of holes to accumulate assets. And let's not forget, you have a 26-year-old quarterback who was the rookie of the year in the NFL that you could say, all right, this year our swing at the plate at quarterback is going to be RG3, and if it busts out completely, we'll be right there and we'll have another opportunity. I don't want to force it. I believe Goff is that guy. I'm not sure Wentz is. If they think he is, I'm on board. But right now, if you're asking me, I'm much more inclined to turn Carson Wentz into four players that can help this team than just throw all my eggs in the Wentz basket.
I agree. And I think that, you know, the likes of Dane Brugler thinks that. Your perspective is on that is so much more complex than even where I come from on it. Because I've watched both players, but I also understand what it's like to play. You know, Ohio State has their Ohio game every year, and it's Akron and Kent State, and, you know, and you sometimes feel like you can roll your helmet out against these teams, even though they're giving you your best effort, and you're by far and away more talented, better coaching, and you just out-execute these guys and physically roll them.
You're
okay?
Superior.
In every way, shape, and form.
Yes.
And I know it's been done before with Flacco and Romo and all these other small school guys that make it. I just think in today's NFL, you go get the guy that has played against great competition and put up great numbers, which Jared Goff has. He's resurrected a place from 1-11 to 8-5 in a bowl game appearance, you know, in his few years at Cal. To me, and I think the respect that the Pac-12 has earned over the course of the last 5 to 7 years, in my eyes personally, goes to show the competition that he's played against. And if I'm drafting someone at number two, I want immediate impact. I know I have RG3. I want the guy that can come in and push RG3. I don't want RG3, who's going to win me football games, have to be a mentor to another player because right. He's not ready. That is something that with two swings in 14 and two swings at 15, what do we have to show for it? We got a partial starter in Danny Shelton. We got a maybe in Cam Irving. We got a nothing in Johnny Manziel. And can't yet make it to work on time in Justin Gilbert.
Hopefully that
Give me the sure thing. Give me the guy that's going to come in and play. And that, to me, and in the eyes of many, is Jared Goff right now. He'll put on 10 pounds. He's not going to grow
an
inch.
2 years
but
younger.
He'll put on 10 pounds. He'll put on 8 pounds of the right weight under the supervision of professionals.
Just think about it this way. Let's say Carson Wentz has to sit for 2 years or a year before he can play. Okay, he's not going to see the field until he's 24, 25. Goff could be, at that point, a 3 or 4 year NFL veteran. And not to say that Wentz is old. I'm just saying I'm all about the quarterback. Is there a position that I have said I was willing to trade 20 first round picks for Andrew Luck? I'm all about the quarterback. I don't want, if they don't think that this person is a franchise quarterback, then there is no reason to take him. You have a swing at the plate with a guy that every single team in the National Football League thought was a franchise quarterback in RG3. So in that, if that is the reason you trade down, if you trade down even though you believe they're a franchise quarterback, that I don't like. Because until we have one, we don't. And we should, our whole goal should be getting one. But I think it is, you know, if you want to get mad, you can get mad. You can get angry about it. I mean, I know that's what Tony Grosso is getting people fired up about it this morning, saying that anything but a quarterback's a failure. Now, the interesting thing about it, though, is that Tony himself believes that it's not close between Goff and Wentz.
Right.
So if Goff's there, yeah, I'm 100% with that. If they trade down, I'd be bummed out. But if Wentz is there, I don't think it's a sure thing to pull the trigger. Gibbs, from all that you've heard and you know, especially you're at ESPN Cleveland with Grossi, do you think it's just an automatic that you take Carson Wentz?
I agree.
I got to see it. I got to see it.
He's got to see it.
He's got to see it.
I don't know if we will get to see it.
I was answering phones. What do you guys need?
I said you are at ESPN Cleveland. You know, Grossi's article is more based like if the Browns trade down at number two, they've blown the draft, which I don't agree with.
I think they will have blown the draft if Goff is there and they don't take him.
Okay, so that's – so okay, you weren't listening to the phones, but somehow you're feeling our sentiment. I would agree with you. Not blow the draft. I would find it hard to believe that they wouldn't think he was a franchise quarterback. And if they do think that, then I'd find it hard that they would let him go. Now, if Wentz is there, though, is it that automatic to you that you must take Carson Wentz as opposed to turning that into four or five players?
No, I would be fine if they traded out at that point. I just don't think you're going to find anybody willing to move up at that pick.
That's going to be
– I think you're not going to find a dance partner. I think but the you gotta dance figure... partner was the Rams. I don't think the Eagles want to move all the way up. If Goff's not there.
But if the Rams are truly split, you know, coach, general manager on who's number one, can there not be at least one other team that thinks Carson Wentz and his upside, you know, who might be in a little bit better of a situation than the Rams?
But is he worth it at number two? If he gets past the Cowboys, he's going to slip to you at 7 or 8.
I agree. That's why in my mock draft, I had, you know, the Eagles making the move the Rams making the move with the Eagles. And taking Carson Wentz.
The way I look at it. You know, we're talking about is the draft a failure if they don't. Here's you got to hit on the first round picks. I'm tired of us not hitting on the impact guys right off the bat. Your first round pick should be a starter, should be an impact player, should be one of the better players on your football team. We have the last 5 or 6 that we've gotten. We've got Shelton could be. Cam Irving could be. No one else has panned out. I mean, Mingo's a role player right now. Gilbert, who knows? Maybe he's sleeping. I don't know. I need my first. Stop talking to me about third, fourth, and fifth round players. I need first round impact guys. That's how you start to turn this around. You got to hit on the first rounders.
I agree with that, and I think if they do move down, that's why we were saying you got to stay in that top 10.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think you can.
Right.
I just don't know who wants to move up that badly.
I don't know either.
I mean, maybe Jerry gets a bug, and he knows he's got to move up to 2. If you can convince him someone else is trying to move up to that spot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who you're going to get to dance with you.
That'll be the interesting thing. A lot of people are bringing up the fact that it's been publicized that Jared Goff still had workouts, working out with teams this week. I've heard Goff has Wentz as well, but I haven't seen it. As I'm looking, trying to get a confirmation on it, because that could be something that, you know, people who are trying to look and read between the lines, if that means that, you know, they're letting Goff work out and they're not letting Wentz work out, does that mean they've made a decision? We'll see. I don't know. I know that the Cowboys have worked out Goff, and I know that they Jerry Jones was blown away from everybody that I've talked to.
I don't know what to, I don't know what to believe at this point right now. We can talk about it until we're blue in the face. We're 10 days away, and I don't know what to believe, and I really don't care. It's going to play out whether it's a quarterback or not.
Oh man, let's go! Can we just get to Thursday? Can we, like, you know what was that movie with Adam Sandler? Where he had a remote and he could just, like, fast forward time.
Click.
I got ugly, though. Got dark. I'm not talking about the dark part about it. I'm talking about when it was a great idea and it was working out well. Let's go ahead and move to Thursday and just find out what's going on. All right. When we come back, we'll take more calls. 216-578-0850 on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Don't forget, coming up at the top of the hour, Tony Franklin, the offensive coordinator for Jared Goff, the Cal quarterback. He will join us at 2 o'clock. Let's go back to the phones. John in Pittsburgh. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, this question's for Matt.
Sure.
And Matt, I was wondering, as a former professional athlete, if you watch a player play, is it easy for you to be able to say, hey, this guy could play or he can't play? And if so, I just want to get your take on Jeff Coat that we just signed. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it is. It is definitely able. You can always see the guys that stick out on a football field. And I think it's safe to say at any level, you know, now that I'm coaching my son in multiple sports, or you watch, I go back and watch a high school game, you watch a good college game, those that have it stick out like a sore thumb. The next thing that I do as an evaluator of that talent is, what type of competition is he playing against? You know, and that's, therein lies the grain of salt. Whoa, he rushed for 200 yards and 5 touchdowns on 17 rushes again, you know, and they won 57-0, which means the sophomore behind him that went for 150 and 3 touchdowns, you know, against this team too. That's what I truly have to take. And that's in some cases why Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, not simply because I'm following your lead, but because his competition. You know, look at the competition. Look at the number of guys that move and decipher, you know, either offense or defense that are playing in the National Football League from that level of football. There's not many at all. And
no.
You're taking a guy first or second overall and having him sit very soon thereafter. I don't like that. But as far as the guy we recently signed, as Nathan pointed out, some production came out of his time in the NFL, and you like that. And I think what the Cleveland Browns are doing is they're combing for diamonds in the rough, which is a good thing, as all NFL teams do. You sign him, you give him an opportunity. There's got to be something that both Sashi Brown and Andrew Berry and his potential future position coaches liked in his film enough for him to be signed.
Yeah.
So you groom him. He's cheap. He's expendable. You really have no money tied up in him. Give him a shot.
Give him a shot. Speaking of, hot off the presses, courtesy of Sir Andrew Gribble right now. Rand Getland tweeting out, and I'll retweet it myself. I'm told North Dakota State quarterback Carson Wentz is touching down in Los Angeles later today. We'll be meeting with the Rams over the next few days. This is on the same day that it is being reported that 49ers are working out Jared Goff, the division rival of
the
Rams.
You're a happy man right now.
I don't want to get excited. The Rams are going to meet with a guy for a couple of days, and Goff is still working out with the 49ers, a division rival of the Rams.
So say Carson Wentz will be landing by the time that our show is over. And say he's there until midday Wednesday, okay? Is Jared Goff then flying in there Wednesday evening through Friday evening or Saturday morning. That, to me, is a determining factor. If this is the only visit with this quarterback, with one of the two quarterbacks this soon before the draft, I don't understand why. And there's really no, you hold all the cards being number one.
Yeah.
That who cares if it's a surprise or not anymore? Take your guy.
Come out and say
and
it.
And not care who knows.
Could you, what if,
what does it matter?
On. What if the Rams come out tomorrow and say that they're taking Wentz and I start tromboning and au jus swimming down Lou Groza Boulevard and then Thursday comes and we trade out of the number two pick? I might have to take Friday off. I might be out. I might be out of commission.
Well, Friday, aren't you working Friday, this show and Friday night?
Yeah, I might.
Saturday as well?
Yeah.
Your whole weekend shot.
Yeah. Interesting, though. Little intrigue there. So you're saying there's a chance. Little intrigue. All right, we'll take a little intrigue. We'll go with it. All right, let's go to Chad in Ashland. Chad, welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Two quick questions, and then I'll get off the line and listen to you guys' response on the radio here. Question one. What did you guys think of the Carson Wentz special with John Gruden? He had a lot to say about Wentz. He had a lot of good stuff to say about him. And two, is there a quarterback in this draft that could fluidly follow RG3 with the offensive style and system that Hugh Jackson is going to try to develop for him? Thanks, guys.
I think that if you were going to go from that and you want to take a flyer on somebody later, I'll throw out two names, Vernon Adams from Oregon and Trevon Boykin, who's kind of fallen off the quarterback map. They're trying to make him a wide receiver, but I think made some nice throws at TCU. Those would be the two guys that would fit kind of in that mold later on in this draft and would be people that I would be looking at there. Let's go now to Anthony in Cleveland. Anthony.
How are you guys doing this afternoon, man?
Good, man. Thank you.
Good. Look, I agree with your one of your co-hosts. What you said earlier on, this is an the Browns as an organization can't afford to continue missing and first round draft pick like this. I mean, we're drafting quarterback, it seems, every year, every 2 years, and we're missing in them. I mean, as an organization, that's a recipe for failure.
Missing on any
division.
Pick in the first round. And if you really look, think about it, it's not just the quarterbacks that they have not had a lot of success with. Go back to 1999 and look at the first round picks of the Cleveland Browns. That is why you don't get good. When you are unable to capitalize on those early picks, that is when you really struggle.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, if you look at this division, the other three teams in this division has done a magnificent job when it comes to drafting.
Yes.
I mean, and we just keep missing. We keep missing. You can't, you know, I've said this so many times. If you keep missing, and especially quarterback so much, something is significantly or fundamentally wrong with your organization.
Well,
it ought not to happen like this.
And part of the problem is, too, is that when you also have that much turnover, you have different philosophies coming in over and over and over again. Now, hopefully, this is the right one. But let's go back to 99. Tim Couch, good pick. And I think if he was in a better situation, would have been solid. Courtney Brown did not live up to the expectations of him. Gerard Warren was a good player, but did Gerard Warren live up to the number three overall pick in the draft, would you say?
Nah.
Gibbs?
Kavassier did not.
No. Okay. William Green.
No.
No. Jeff.
Hold on now.
What are you talking about? He went 16th overall and rushed for 2,000 yards in his career.
Okay. But he went 16th. It's not like he was a top 10. Was he a bust first round wise? Yes. But he did give you moments.
That's what we're asking about.
And he did get you to the playoffs.
The guy ran for 2,000 yards in his career.
Push, push, push,
push. Push. There's no push. That was a total bust.
That was the push. Jim Donovan yelling to our good friend, Run, Willie, Run.
Run, Willie, Run. Jeff Fain, 2003, center. 125 career games. Ended up getting traded to New
what
Orleans,
pick?
I believe. He was picked 21.
I don't believe Jeff Fain was a bust.
No.
Yeah.
It's not a sexy pick. Anytime, I mean, you take a deep offensive lineman, it's not,
sure,
you know, sexy, but I thought he served his purpose.
Kellen Winslow. Couple good seasons.
Not a bust. I mean, he played a huge,
well,
a good
role.
If you
knew how to ride a motorcycle, you'd have been all right.
I mean, would you like Kellen Winslow as a playmaker at tight end right now for the Cleveland Browns?
Sure, but flashes of brilliance, but didn't have that sustained level of dominance.
Sure. You know what? For being a top 10 pick.
Sixth overall.
You got to call him a bust.
Okay. Third overall, Braylon Edwards. I mean, the scary thing is you could go first and second round on all these picks, and it gets.
Braylon was a.
He had one dominant year. He had one amazing year. Stayed in the league for a while. Didn't ever quite live up to the hype. 2006, 13th overall, Cam Wimbley. Solid, had some solid seasons. Managed to stay in the league till 2014. All right, 2007, you get it right with Joe Thomas. Brady Quinn, also a first-round pick that year. The following season, you don't have a first, a second, or a third-round pick.
What year was that?
2008.
Why? Bo Bell was our fourth-round pick.
Ataba Rubin was in the sixth-round pick. That was a good pick. 2009, Alex Mack, and then you picked Robisky, Massaqua, and Vacoon, all in the second round. Got nothing from any of them.
Is this Holmgren era?
No, we weren't at the Holmgren era yet.
Who's a GM at this point?
Heckert was 2010 that picked Hayden and Ward, TJ Ward.
Yeah, but why didn't we have picks a first, second, or third? What did we trade?
Savage traded out.
For?
To get Brady Quinn?
Yeah, we moved up.
To get Brady, okay. Then you had Joe Hayden, that was a good one. 2011, Phil Taylor. 2012, Trent Richardson, Brandon Whedon. Oy. 2013, Barkevious Mingo. 2014, Gilbert Manziel. 2015, Shelton Cameron. I mean, there just isn't a consistently successful pick at the top. There isn't even a stretch. I mean, you got three out of all those ones that we talked about. The three that you are, Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden, Alex Mack, happened from in 2007, 2009, and 2010. That was it. That was your run. I mean, there's still the jury's out.
That's why you are where you are.
Right.
You can boast about hitting on second, third, fourth, and fifth rounders and finding the diamonds in the rough. You got to hit on the guys that can start from day one and will be the leaders of your football team.
Really, it takes a couple of drafts to do it, too.
Look at the 49ers.
It's going to be fine.
Look at the 49ers.
I was there, man. The same team that Mike Singletary led to 3-13 after 8 years of top 10 picks, I sat in that room and I went, there was a lot of talent in this room. How are we this bad? That was the year, obviously, we went 8-8 the year prior, got re-signed, I got hurt, I go to Green Bay, win a championship. But the next year, Singletary's fired, Harbaugh hired, with another draft class and maybe a speckling of free agency, and you're 13-3 in the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
With the right coaches with their hands on a boatload of talent. Going back to that team, it almost reminds me, a lot of people talk to me about Ohio State and Miami, the national championship game, how many NFL players came from that national championship game. And then I go back, and after my time in San Francisco, I didn't really quite realize, I knew there was a lot of talent, but you don't really realize how much talent. I want to say 9 out of the 11 defensive players were a first or second round pick. And I want to say 7 or 8 out of the 11 on offense at one time were a first or second round pick. Or a first, second, or third round pick.
That's when that team was just silly.
I mean, like Josh Morgan, a second round pick. You know, got Crabtree, Iupati, Davis, Vernon Davis. You know, I talked Anthony Davis, Alex Smith, Frank Gore. It was ridiculous.
Those teams were absolutely loaded. And
Justin
came together.
Smith via free agency, Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis, Deshaun Goldson, Shante Spencer. It was like, what?
Whitner.
Whitner came via free agency. Yeah, it was nuts.
Former first-round pick.
Yes,
yeah.
It was crazy.
Stacked. That's why they had that success. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with Tony Franklin, now the offensive coordinator of Middle Tennessee State, was the offensive coordinator at Cal while Jared Goff was there. We'll talk to him about the Cal prospect and what he thinks could happen here in the 2016 NFL Draft.